First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9 is where we want to begin our study this morning. First Chronicles 28 and verse 9. King David is speaking to his son Solomon in this verse and says, "Thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Very wise words from a righteous man, a man after God's own heart, to his son. Words that we should teach our children, words that we should know ourselves and put into practice. And what he says about God there, the way he was then is the way he is now. And he says that God searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. And he surely does. He still does. He knows what we're thinking, and he knows the imaginations of man. And man does have very great imagination, especially in spiritual things. And God knows all of that, and he's going to bring all of that into judgment. The particular point that we need to underscore as we go through this study is that we need to serve God with the kind of heart and mind that David was instructing Solomon to there. Because if we seek him, he will still be found of us. We still have that promise, Matthew 7 and verse 7. And if we forsake him, though, he will forsake us. So those principles taught in that verse are still very true, very applicable, and very important for us to understand today. And in fact, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll see very similar words here as far as God knowing the imaginations of the thoughts of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. "Let no man deceive himself." And I know I've mentioned this before, but that should set off some alarm bells for us, or give us some flashing lights or red flags, or however you want to say it. This should get our attention. Whenever God says, "Don't be deceived about something," it's surely something that most people, or many people, are deceived about. It's a common deception that he's calling our attention to make sure we don't fall into the same trap. Well, what are so many people deceived about? Well, this point that follows. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they're vain." Now, how many in our world today think that they have great wisdom, and by their imagination do they think they are very wise, and that they are very prepared for their eternity if they believe in it? And that's still a problem that people have. But what does he say again there about God and his knowledge of man's thoughts and his imaginations? God still searches those things and knows all those things. And he knows that the imaginations of man are vain. And all of that God is going to bring into judgment. So we need to be aware of that tendency that men have to follow their imaginations and to make sure that we're not doing the same thing. Let's go back to the book of Genesis to chapter 6. And this is actually not the first example we have in the Bible of the imaginations of man in practice. We would have to really go back to chapter 3 for that to see where the devil deceived Eve into imagining that if she ate that fruit that it would make her wise like God, and that it was something that was good for her to do. As he deceived her about what God said. And then chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, we have Cain. And by his imagination, he thought he could worship God the way he thought he could, by offering the fruit of the ground rather than what God commanded, which was the firstlings of the flocks. He didn't obey, but he rather had his own imaginations about things. But those examples are already there in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. But here, the sixth chapter of the Bible, we have one of the clearest examples of man's tendency to have his own imaginations and to follow those things. In verses 5 through 7, he says, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So God changed his mind about his creation because of the way his creature, his creation was serving him or not. When it came to man and his thoughts, he says he saw that the imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. That's how far it had gone to this point, and we know what followed in the verse and the chapters after this, when God did destroy the world by the flood. He saved Noah and his family, the only 8 people on the earth at that time who were not following the imaginations of their own heart, which were only evil continually as far as everybody else. It's interesting when you look at those words in the Hebrew, and that continually, it literally means all of the hours of the day, the whole time. That's all man was doing, following his own imaginations, and it was evil, not serving the Creator. And it's very sad to see that really this world today, when we look at it, and how different is it from the world in Noah's time? Well, it's still, unfortunately, the majority of the people of this world by far that are following the imaginations of their heart, and they're not good, those imaginations. And God is not pleased with it. In fact, when we see in Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19, the Lord tells us this is an abomination in his sight. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. But notice in verse 18, he says, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. And that was the heart of the people there in Genesis chapter 6, at the time when he determined to destroy the world by the flood. Now, in Genesis 6 and verse 5, where he used that word imaginations and regarding to man and his thoughts and how they were only evil continually, that particular word in the Hebrew, yetzer, it means a form or like a conception or something that what man conceives or purposes in his heart. But the root of that word comes from what a potter does with clay, to mold it into a form. And don't men do that with their minds? They mold and shape their ideas and what they conceive of in their own thoughts. And that's the imaginations. And people by their own minds can form and shape things in the way that they want to. And they believe what they want to believe about things. But that doesn't make it right, does it? Even though the word really is very illustrative to what people do, it doesn't make it right what people do in the end. Now, after the Lord had destroyed the world by water there in Noah's time, when the waters receded and Noah and his family were going to leave the ark, the Lord mentioned something about this again in the passage of chapter 8 of Genesis, verses 18 through 22. It says, Noah went forth, and his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. So it's over now. The Lord has started over with Noah and his family and those animals that had been in the ark. And it says in verse 20 that Noah builded an altar to the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat and summer and winter, the day and night shall not cease. Well, that will be the case until this world comes to an end. The Lord's going to burn it up by fire next time when Jesus comes. But until then, there are going to be the seasons, there's going to be the patterns of the weather and all those things that we experience every day, every year. But notice what he said about the imagination of man's heart there. It doesn't mean that God was approving of it or excusing it at all, but he was noting that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. When does that tendency begin to mold like a potter with clay, to take our thoughts and to form them in whatever way we want to form them, to think about things the way we want to think about them, our imagination? when does that process tend to start? He says it starts in youth. So this is certainly a lesson for everybody here, young and old alike. You young people, as you're starting to use your imaginations, and it's also, that's something that a lot of people that aren't following God try to encourage in young people too, isn't it? To use their imaginations, to be very creative in their thoughts. And well, we have to be very careful with that, because when that is taken in the direction into the spiritual realm, when that training is given there and then that's translated to the spiritual realm, that's going to lead to serious problems, as we're already seeing here just from the book of Genesis. But young people, it's not okay to use your imagination to be creative when it comes to deciding how you're going to live your life on this earth. That's not acceptable with God at all. And we can come up with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of rationalizations about things. But however skilled we may be in our minds and molding that clay up there and forming our thoughts and making imaginations about things, it doesn't mean it's right with God. We have to consider what our Creator's will is. So from our youth, we need to try to train our minds not to be imagining things and not to be leaning to our own understanding about things when it comes to spiritual things, how we're going to live our life on this earth and what we have to do to be right with God. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 31, this problem also was very severe in the hearts of God's people, Israel. Deuteronomy 31, God here is foretelling what was going to occur after Moses' time. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I've made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they will be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, and that they have turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it will come to pass, when many evils and troubles have befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear." Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. So God gave him a song to teach, because everybody remembers songs very well, don't they? And when you're taught a song when you're young, those things stick with you in your memories, don't you? Most of us here probably can recall things from when we were very, very young, something that we learned, a rhyme, a song, those kinds of things. And they really do stay in our memories very, very long, and they're implanted there. And that was what God intended here. Is there a reason why God has chosen that we sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs as part of our way of worshiping Him and of exhorting and edifying one another? God designed that for a purpose. But He taught this song to the people, the words that are contained in chapter 32, where that song is written down for and preserved for us to study. That's where that song is, but it had to do with how they were going to rebel against God and how they were going to follow their imaginations. As God said in verse 21, "I know their imagination, which they go about even now." He knew what they were thinking, and He knew how they had their own way. They were molding those thoughts like that clay, and they were forming them in the way and the direction that they wanted to go, even at that time. And God knew where it was going to lead in the future, and how far away they were going to get from Him. But with the song that followed in chapter 32, He gives a clear description of where the imaginations of man's thoughts, where they will take him. In chapter 32, verses 5 through 6, He says, "They've corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? So he teaches that principle of God being the creator and therefore the owner of all that he has made, which is everything. Everything is made by God and belongs to him. How do we requite God? How do we treat him? And how do we return what he has done for us back to him? How do we treat him in kind? He's made us. He owns us. What should we do? We should do the will of our Creator. We shouldn't use our thoughts to imagine what we can do and then do whatever we feel like. That's not treating the Lord properly. Do we requite him in that way? That's what his people were doing. See, the song contains those words that were describing what they were doing and would continue to do. And so in the end, would they be able to say, well, we didn't realize that's what we were doing? Well, what about that song you knew where you were singing about it? See, there was the point of that particular song that he gave them. Verses 15 through 18, we see more of what the imagination of man's heart will and what it will do. He says, But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten the God that formed thee. And see how creative men can be, and the things they come up with, and in their false religions, and the ways that they're going to follow, and practice, and live by. And then in doing so, they're departing from the true God, and from his ways. And that's how they're treating their creator and owner, and it's not proper. And finally, verse 21, he says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. That's also a prophecy that pertains to the Gentiles. That's even quoted in Romans 10 and verse 19 in the New Testament. But their God was speaking those words in that song to them that they would be singing to each other, that contained the words describing how they were departing from God by their imaginations, as God knew that they were doing at that time. Now let's compare that with what he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. We just read there in verse 21 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. How men were following that which was not God. And he says, they've moved me to jealousy with that which is not God and provoked me to anger with their vanities. Well, what were they doing here in Romans 25, chapter 1 and verse 25? He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Does that sound similar? That's identical. That's where the imaginations of man's heart, where it's going to lead him. And the verses that come right before that are almost identical to what we were just seeing there in Deuteronomy chapters 31 and 32. What was plaguing man in Genesis chapters 3, 4, 6, what was plaguing the children of Israel in Deuteronomy is what plagues the world today. And even is affecting God's people in many cases, and that's why this warning needs to be heard by us all. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, we read verse 25 and see what they were, what people are doing as they are worshiping and serving the creation alongside of the Creator, which is not acceptable to God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, he says in verse 18. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. See, there's the problem man has. Back in Deuteronomy, we saw God is the creator and he's the owner, and we know it here. From the creation, it's clearly seen from that. We have no excuse. We know we have a creator, an owner that we need to be seeking, and not by our imagination doing things our own way and following, worshiping and serving the creation. We need to seek our creator and owner, the one who's made us. But what happens with people? They know they have a creator, but they're not glorifying him as God. as we saw in verse 25, they're worshiping and serving the creation alongside the Creator. He says in the rest of verse 21, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See that again? That's what people do. They become vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. He says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then we already read verse 25. Further down, 28 through 32. He says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do those things sound familiar that he describes in those verses? This is our world today. And it's becoming more and more like that. What's the problem? Men still don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They are still becoming vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart is darkened. They're following those imaginations instead of following and seeking after their Creator. So we see the same problem in our world today. But let's make sure we're not part of that problem and doing the same thing ourselves. In Psalm chapter 81, or the 81st Psalm, verses 11 and 12, again regarding the people Israel, the Lord said, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. That word lust there is the other Hebrew word for imagination, meaning twisted, that is being firm, or obstinacy. So here their thoughts or imaginations is something twisted and stubborn against God. And that's the way it is with man's own thoughts. And God gave them up to those things, just like we read in Romans 1 that he's doing to those still today who do not like to retain God in their knowledge. He uses that same word several times in the book of Jeremiah, describing where his people were in terms of their spiritual situation and how they had departed from the Lord following their imaginations. In Jeremiah 7 and verse 24, he says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Now these are God's people he's talking about. Jeremiah 9, 13 and 14. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I've set before him, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. See, that's what they were doing. And then chapter 16 and verse 12. Again, through Jeremiah the prophet, God said, and they have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. See the words, how similar they are to what we saw in Genesis chapter 6 at the beginning of our study. This had it had afflicted God's people. They were infected with this and doing the same thing. They had departed from God like those people back in the book of Genesis. Over and over again, God used that phrase through the mouth of Jeremiah. You're following the imagination of your evil heart. Now, we see how the people then took those words, which they obviously didn't believe, and then mocked Jeremiah who spoke those words. And clearly, they weren't viewing this as being God's word through the mouth of Jeremiah. And so they were, in their minds, mocking this prophet, or this one who was calling himself a prophet they didn't believe in. But actually, they're mocking God and his word when they say what they did in response to what God says in Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, let's go and look at the beginning of the chapter. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah the Lord, from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Very much what people do with their thoughts, their imaginations. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. So that's what God said through Jeremiah to go tell the people about that. And he did. Now, when the Lord was speaking there about them being clay in his hand, as the potter, when he started to make a vessel and it didn't come out right, and he just started over. Well, God had built them, but what was he willing to do? He's willing to take them down and start over, and that's what he was prepared to do if they didn't repent. Well, how did they respond to those words? Verse 12, they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things, the virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Well, would they speak those kinds of words if they really believed that's what they were doing? Who would dare? But they heard those words through Jeremiah's mouth so many times in those other passages that we went through just a few moments ago. But they heard those words. You're walking after the imagination of your heart. And so when he tells them, you need to repent or you're going to be destroyed, they don't believe that. And they said, there's no hope. We're walking after the imagination of our evil heart, remember? And so that is what they were doing, though. But look at the hardness of those hearts and the wickedness of those people. But that's what God was dealing with in his own people during that time. But as he destroyed the world in Genesis chapters 6 through 8, by water that we read about in those chapters, as he did that before, that is a lesson of how God is going to punish the wickedness of man and his imaginations, what's going to happen in the future as well. In Jeremiah 23, 14 through 17, he speaks about the false prophets that are among them. This is the devil's way of getting God's people to be like the world, to depart from God, to go back into the world, and to follow the imaginations of their hearts, and that it become evil, only evil continually. He uses false prophets, false teachers to do that. That's what he was doing in Israel during this time. If you wanted to understand, or if we asked the question, well, how did Israel get to be like they were, these people that Jeremiah was dealing with, and how could that God's people become like that? Well, he tells us about it there in chapter 23, 14 to 17. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord has said, You shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, No evil shall come upon you. So that's what they were doing, strengthening the hands of evildoers, because as all the people were following their own imaginations, they said, Nothing bad's going to happen to you for that. You're not going to be punished for that. You can keep doing it and you'll be fine. The same thing is happening today. And we do have false teachers among God's people, that is among us in our brotherhood today, that are really teaching the same thing. And we were promised that would happen in 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people. He makes that statement. That's a fact. We just read about it in Jeremiah 23. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. Not just out there in the world, he says, among you. What are they going to do? He says, who privily will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's the sad part. How many Christians are following the ways of false teachers? Way too many. And we've seen this in recent years, especially how many of our own brethren, entire congregations, that have forsaken the right way by following their imaginations. Many will follow their pernicious ways. They are following the pernicious ways, many of these false teachers. He says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's also true. And it's sad to see the shame that's brought on the name of the Lord and His church by Christians who've departed from the Lord, corrupting what is the Lord's name and His ways by their unrighteousness, and cause people to speak evil of what is good. And in verse 3 he says, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So he's warning us, the false teachers are going to be among you to try to take you away from me, where you'll be using the imagination of your hearts, just like my people of old. Then comes the warning, and he brings up some of the examples that we've already seen this morning. Noah in his time with the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah. We just read that as he brought that up in Jeremiah. It says that, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down in hell and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God still knows the thoughts of man and his imaginations. He is still going to be delivering those who follow their own imagination to be punished. But if we will submit ourselves to God and not follow our own imaginations, but follow Him and His Word and His teachings, and humble ourselves under Him, He knows how to deliver us from our temptations. Are we vexed like Lot was with all the unrighteousness that's around us and all the wicked imaginations of man? Well, we better not be like his wife, who loved those things and herself was taken by them and destroyed. We need to follow God. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus lets us know how we're going to be judged. And it's not going to be by we followed our imagination and we followed it well. That's not going to save us in the end. That will cause us to be lost. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Were these people using the imagination of their heart? Were they following that? Well, they were imagining, as people are still doing today, imagining that all these things they're doing, they're claiming to be for Jesus. I guess it was Thursday evening when I was up there in North Carolina, and somebody walked into a store in front of me, and he had Bikers for Christ on the back of his jacket. So where did that come from? Did that come from the Bible? There's a religious practice that uses that and brings in the motorcycling and all that as part of it's a religious thing. But that's not in the Bible. And he said, well, I was biking for you, Lord. I was on my motorcycle for you, and that was my way of worshiping you and serving you. Well, where did that come from? And what is Jesus speaking about then? All the things that people are imagining they're doing for Jesus, and they say they're doing it for Jesus. Does that mean it's okay with God? It doesn't mean it's okay with God at all. What does he say about that? Who's going to be right with God, and who's going to be saved in the end? He says, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Is it by what we imagine, or is it by what God says? See, there's no imagination to it. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Jesus is teaching that same principle here. Don't just say it, and don't follow what you claim to be doing for me. You submit to my Father and his commandments. Otherwise, what's he going to say? You were working iniquity when you're following your own imaginations. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So what do men think of their imaginations? They're very good and very clever, aren't we all? and thinking up ways, and it looks so good and so right, and we think that's going to take us where we want to go, and ultimately we're going to end up in heaven by following that way. Well, just because it seems right doesn't mean it is right. How do we know what is right? We've got to go to God's Word and find that and make sure that's what we're doing. So regarding our own imagination, our own wisdom, our own understanding, lean not to it, cease from it, turn away from it, and we need to follow God. We want to have another lesson next Sunday morning, Lord willing, on this particular subject, as far as the particulars of our battle and what we're fighting in our minds to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There's lots more teaching in God's Word in detail about how to fight and win this battle to make sure that we are right with God, not just following what seems to be right, but what is right, so that the end of our ways that we're following isn't going to be death because we followed our own thoughts and ways and imaginations, but that it will lead to life eternal because we have done what is the will of our Father which is in heaven. If you've not yet begun to do the will of your Father which is in heaven, and if you've not yet begun to follow Jesus Christ, His Son, who asks the question in Luke 6:46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you've not yet begun to do the things which he has said, well, you're still lost. But you don't need to be lost for any more time at all, any more time than it takes for you to come forward in just a moment and confess your faith, your belief before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as He commands in Romans 10:9-10, and for you, having repented of your sins, then to be immersed in water, to have those sins washed away, to have your name written in heaven, to have hope of eternal life as you have now begun to follow the ways of the Lord and not your own imagination. If you're a Christian, if you've been like so many of the ones of God's people who have turned away from the right course to follow the imagination of your heart, if you've not been doing what's right and need to repent and need the prayers of the church, you also have the opportunity to come forward at this time. Anyone who needs to come, please do so right now while we stand and sing.